Great. Well, good to be, as I said, back in God's house. A little bit of mixed emotions, Reese and Danny. You guys will be missed. But Kathy, really excited for you. I really believe it's a new season for you. I just know you've been so faithful. From before I came on staff, you were involved in the youth ministry, and you've been there through a lot of changes, a lot of transitions, but yet you've been like just the anchor, I feel, that's kept it all together, and I'm excited for this new season and everything God has for you. So bless you for stepping up. We really do appreciate you, Kathy. Yeah. Anyway, so the Word of God is good, hey? The Word of God made flesh is, that's what Jesus was. That's what we told in John 1. So, let's dig into the Word. Well, 2 weeks ago, I didn't mean for it to be like a series when I was preparing these messages, but it kind of looks like it's turning out to be that way. 2 weeks ago, I gave a message. I'm just going to start my stopwatch so that we don't run over time here. Yeah, let's go. So, yeah, there was a funny joke that went around on a chat earlier this week about the length of sermons and that there's going to be sermon police watching me. And if I go too long, we're going to... Isn't that right, Damien? Anyway, it's good. I know it's all just banter, and but I will respect that. I do try to be respectful of people's time and resources. We know, you know, the time is short. Everyone leads very busy lives. So let me try and unpack the Word of God for you in the next 30 minutes or so. Well, 2 weeks ago, we took a deep look at this character called Barnabas. He was an encourager, and the Greek word for that kind of encouragement he possessed was, does anyone remember? Paraklesis, or like the Americans say, paraklesis. And it meant comfort, to console someone, to exhort them, which means to like encourage them, and the reason why I want to bring our attention to that is this: the message that I have today is not on encouragement, but it's on people who are waiting for this kind of encouragement. I think sometimes we all need that encouragement, and it's few and far between nowadays where people are like really encouraging, building up. Like, it's such a critical spirit in the world these days. Everyone's so quick to criticize and tell people what they're doing wrong and where they need to change and, or you know, fix the world. You know, everyone's like a mini social justice warrior with the people around them, when we really should be just extending grace, seeing the good things that people are doing and encouraging them. So the key passage for today that I want to read from is Luke 2, verse 25 to 38. And I'll be reading from the Voice translation. So for those of you who didn't get that, Luke 2, 25 to 38. While fulfilling these sacred obligations at the temple, they, who's they? This was Jesus, Joseph, and Mary. So while fulfilling their sacred obligations at the temple, they encountered a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. So Joseph and Mary, the parents of Jesus, come with Jesus, and they're fulfilling some obligations in the temple, and they meet a man named Simeon. So who was Simeon? He was a just and pious man, anticipating the liberation of Israel from her troubles. That's what he was waiting for. He was a man in touch with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had revealed to Simeon that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's anointed one. The Spirit had led him to the temple that day, and there he saw the child Jesus in the arms of his parents, who were fulfilling their sacred obligations. So this man was in touch with the Holy Spirit, felt the Holy Spirit say to him, you're not going to die before you see Jesus. And so he held on to the words of the Holy Spirit, and he was looking, he was anticipating the liberation of Israel. He was waiting for the freedom that came with Jesus. Simeon took Jesus into his arms and blessed God. Simeon says this, now, Lord and King, you can let me, your humble servant, die in peace. Why does he say that? You promised me that I would see with my own eyes what I'm seeing now. Now, guys, in the context of this year's theme, which is freedom, Luke 4:18, listen to this. this is what he was waiting for. You promised me that I would see with my own eyes what I'm seeing now. Your freedom raised up in the presence of all peoples. He is the light who reveals your message to the other nations. And he is the shining glory of your covenant people, Israel. That's what he was waiting for. His father and mother were stunned to hear Simeon say these things. Simeon went on to bless them both. And to Mary in particular, he gave predictions. Gives a bit of prophecy. Simeon says this, "Listen, this child will make many in Israel rise and fall. He will be a significant person whom many will oppose. In the end, he will lay bare the secret thoughts of many hearts, and a sword will pierce even your own soul, Mary." At that very moment, an elderly woman named Anna stepped forward. Anna was a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She had been married for 7 years before her husband died, 37, and a widow to her current age of 84 years. So her husband died, and she'd been a widow for a long time. She was deeply devoted to the Lord, constantly in the temple, fasting and praying. When she approached Mary, Joseph, and Jesus, she began speaking out thanks to God. And she, now I just want you to listen to this last little bit carefully. And she continued spreading the word about Jesus to all those who shared her hope for the rescue of Jerusalem. Not to everyone, but to all those who shared her hope for the rescue of Jerusalem. Let's pray. Lord God, help us today to dig deeply into your holy word and uncover your heart that is behind it all. Awaken our spirits to seek out and anticipate you in our lives. Help us to cultivate an expectancy rather than complacency surrounding your word and your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. As we continue from here, we'll begin to unpack the story of Simeon and Anna. But there is actually a central message that comes through this story. And this is what my message is titled today. We should all be living out our lives in ways that are anticipating God. Anticipating God. That's what I want to talk to you about this morning. Anticipating, longing for, being ready to receive all that God has for each of us. Sometimes I feel like when we come to church or when we come to Bible study or when we even just come to a prayer night or we come to a youth meeting, team meetings, guest speaker services, sometimes we can come with like a spiritual sort of complacency about us. Like, oh yeah, we've heard that all before. It's like boredom begins to set in. It's like we've seen it all. No more surprises, just going through the motions. But let me tell you, everyone, we really should be anticipating God. When I come on Sunday, personally, I'm expectant. I'm anticipating that lives are going to be changed. I'm anticipating that dark souls are going to be set free. You know, that scales are going to fall from the eyes of blind people and that they're going to see Jesus in a whole new light. I'm anticipating when I come here on a Sunday that people are going to be shaken by the power of the Holy Spirit, the power that raised Jesus from the dead. I come anticipating that the worship is going to be on fire and it's going to transport me and transcend me above my current problems and all the worries I'm facing and put me back in that intimate place with God. You know, we should have an excitement about coming to church every week, expecting and anticipating God and the freedom that he brings. God's freedom is present to rock this building right now. I think that sometimes you receive God on the level of expectancy that you have towards him and the faith that you're exercising towards him. The attitude that you bring, I feel, can bottleneck the impact that God has on you. But that doesn't sound right. You know, God is all-powerful. He's a mighty God. Surely he will just override the place where you're at and miraculously change your heart attitude. Well, yes and no. God's power and freedom, make no mistake, that is there for us to soak in every week. It will break down barriers. It will shift atmospheres. It will bring light to the darkness and lift you out of the place you're at. But we got to be open to him. Let me draw this important point out. The Holy Spirit working in your life is a contingent on your relationship. Not on specific rituals that we perform every week. I do think there is such thing as missing out because of our heart attitude and that we're not anticipating God. Here's a couple of scriptures to consider. In Proverbs 3, verse 34, says this, God treats the arrogant as they treat others, mocking the mockers, scorning the scornful, but he pours out his grace on the humble. Another one that we can look at is Luke 1, verse 51, in the New Century Version. He has done mighty deeds by his power. He has scattered the people who are proud and think great things about themselves. How do you approach the things of God? How do I approach the things of God? How do we assess the value even of others that are trying to speak God's word into our lives? Is it with humble expectancy? Or is it with a folded arms, I've seen it all, kind of attitude of pride? In the passage we read, Simeon was in touch with the Holy Spirit and he had a relationship with God. It was only when he had this relationship that he was allowed to recognize Jesus when he saw him. He knew what God was like. He could see God when he came across his path. We should be familiar with and immersing ourselves in the things of God so that when we come together, we can not only recognize him, but we can also fellowship with him. We need to have deep relationships. It's like this. It's like when you are shut off and complacent with one of your friends. We all know what that's like, trying to talk to someone, you know, like when they're just, you know, chilling like this and, you know, you come in the room and they don't even like, you want to talk to someone who like jumps up and like, hey, how you going, man? How's your life going? But same person, just sitting here. Oh yeah, what up, bro? Yeah, good. And like, I'm just gonna sit on my phone. Just, oh yeah, how's your mom and dad? Oh no, I'm not even gonna wait to listen to your answer. I'm just gonna carry on with my phone. Yeah, bro. But yeah. Hopefully you can impact me with your words while I'm sitting on my phone doing other things, thinking about. What, you know, I feel like that's what we like in church sometimes. It's like we're thinking about what's going on our phone, what's going on in the elections, what's going on in the cricket game after this. Is that what your relationship with God is like? Do you come to church expectant that God is going to shatter your paradigm with a new concept of just how awesome he is? Or are you thinking about the cricket score or the meal that you're having when you get home, you know? Let's anticipate God in our lives. When we gather, let's expect heaven on earth. Let's anticipate the presence of the Holy Spirit, that the captives will be set free. You know, that the brokenhearted will be healed, that Jesus will take away burdens because his burden is easy and his yoke is light. Let's live lives that anticipate God and everything he's doing around us. Let's be front-footed. You know, as we go back to the passage about Simeon, something that is important to note is that it might seem on a casual reading that Simeon has done something pretty simple. He was just waiting. He'd been told that he would see the Messiah before he died, and so he was just waiting. Like, that's, you look at it and it's like, oh yeah, he waited for Jesus and Jesus rocked up. But my first major point today is this, and I want to draw this out, is anticipation, what is that? Anticipation is waiting. Let me point out something that you maybe didn't see on a quick glance of this scripture. So, the last book of the Old Testament, you know, the Bible's split into two halves, and the last book of the Old Testament is the book of Malachi. Let's do a quick exercise. Those of you who actually have a physical Bible here today, I know most of us read on the phone, but if you actually have a physical Bible here today, Jenny, you've got one there. If you go to the end of the book of Malachi, right, you're pretty much there. So now the crazy thing is that Jenny can flip over a couple, usually it's one or two pages, and then she's in the New Testament, right at the beginning of the book of Matthew, right? Makes sense? And you can read it as straight from the prophecy into the New Testament and Jesus. But by doing that, by flipping over one or two pages, you've just flipped over 400 pages of history. There was a 400-year gap of silence where no more prophets wrote about the coming Messiah, wrote about Jesus. All these prophecies of a coming Messiah were super old, and Simeon would have been aware of them because he worked in the temple, but he would have been aware that the Holy Spirit comes to him and says, "You're not going to die before you see Jesus." But no one has even spoken about the fact that there is going to be a Jesus, that there is going to be a Messiah for over 400 years. I mean, talk about anticipating and waiting and having a level of faith that God is going to move when it doesn't look like he's moved for 400 years. So the Spirit of the Lord is upon Simeon, and he hears from God that he'll see the promised Messiah before he dies. But wouldn't that have sounded like such presumption to people around him? You know, I could just imagine people saying, "Have you heard that Simeon guy? He thinks he's special, and he's not going to die before he sees God. Man, we haven't heard from God in like 400 years. We got all his writings and his teachings, but no one's prophesied. And this Simeon guy, he reckons he's special. He's going to see Jesus." You know, he says God told him he'll see the Messiah before he dies. Fat chance, you know. No prophet's ever has even spoken about the Messiah for 400 years. What makes this guy so special? And I feel like that's sometimes how we discredit ourselves. It's like, "Oh, what makes this Sunday so special? I'm just going to come to church. Same old, same old. I've always had this shoulder problem, but, you know, it's just another Sunday. I don't think God's going to move this Sunday. He hasn't moved for me in 2 years, and I've had this shoulder thing. He's not going to heal me today." You know, sometimes people make fun of you about going to church or hearing from God or praying to the spaghetti monster in the sky. But let me tell you, don't give up. Don't lose hope. Keep waiting. Be expectant. Keep holding on to the future, just like Simeon did. Anticipate what God has in store for you. This week could be the week you finally get healed. This day could be the day you meet your future spouse that you've been praying for years. You know, this year could be the year that you land your dream job. You know, don't write God off. Anticipating is waiting and hoping and trusting, putting your trust fully in God and all he has promised he will do. Now, what kind of things should we be waiting for and should we be expecting and anticipating? Well, this is my second main point. In a Christian context, and because of the hope we have in Jesus, anticipating is expecting freedom. Not just expecting anything, but expecting freedom. Some of us will know this verse well. In 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17, in the ESV, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." When we gather to pray or worship God or learn from God's word, the Spirit of the Lord is there, and therefore freedom and all the outworkings of freedom will be there as well. This is what we were told Simeon was waiting for when he anticipated meeting Jesus. We're going to dig into this now. Actually, to be precise, the very Greek word that it says Simeon was waiting for, guess what word he was waiting for? Paraklesis. It says that Simeon was waiting for paraklesis. He was waiting for the comfort and encouragement that comes when Jesus the Messiah reveals himself to Israel. Let's look at it. Here's one I made earlier for you. I feel like I'm on a cooking show. I went and found three translations on the same verse so that you can see what paraklesis looks like and what he was waiting for. Luke 2, 25, we're going to look at the NIV, the GNT, and the NLT. So first, the NIV. "Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout." What was he doing? He was waiting for paraklesis, and this is how they translate it. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Let's look at it in the GNT. "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was just and feared God, and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, was upon him." And then in the NLT, "At that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout and was," this sounds like anticipating to me, "eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. He was eagerly waiting for the paracleses that comes from Jesus, the Messiah, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. This word of comfort and encouragement is also being used to express saving and rescuing. And this all speaks of the kind of things Jesus does, the kind of things the Holy Spirit does when he comes and he gathers amongst us. You know, the Holy Spirit saves us. He brings liberty to the captives. He brings freedom to the oppressed. He heals the brokenhearted. Those are the things that Simeon was waiting for. He was waiting for and anticipating someone that would come and bring encouragement, someone that would bring freedom, someone that would bring rescue. And he saw Jesus before he died because he was waiting for these things. Anticipating God, he found him. Now, we've been talking a lot about Simeon, but I like to balance the male and the female and bring out both characters. And I don't want to forget about Anna, because Anna's pretty profound right at the end. You know, let's take another look at Luke 2:38. We read this earlier. I'm going to look at the GNT. So this is Anna. She then, coming at the same instant upon them, confessed likewise the Lord and spake of him. Okay, so she spoke of Jesus. Who did she speak of Jesus to? To all that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. The crazy thing here is if you look at the Greek, she spoke to all the people that were looking for paracleses. She didn't speak to everyone about Jesus or about God. Everyone who came looking for encouragement, for consolation, for rescue, for hope, for freedom, those are the people that she spoke to. Luke 2:38 in the New King James says it like this. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him. Who did she speak of him to? To all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. It's kind of cool that, like, I think of it like this. If you were living in that time and you came into the temple, but you weren't expectant, you weren't looking for a savior, you thought, oh, it's been 400 years since the last prophecies were, and you weren't actively looking for Jesus, it's like Anna wouldn't have spoken to you about Jesus because you weren't looking for him. And that's quite interesting. You could have come in the temple, come past there, but because you weren't looking for him, you didn't hear about him. Just an interesting one to note. So she didn't speak to everyone about Jesus and what God had done. She only spoke to people who were seeking encouragement. She spoke of Jesus to people who were anticipating and waiting for a savior. You know, people who were expecting encouragement, people who were looking for comfort, people who were actively seeking freedom, specifically the freedom that comes from knowing Jesus. Now, many people would have passed her by and not heard of this. So it makes me think of the iconic scripture in Luke 11:9 in the New King James. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. So true, hey? When we seek Jesus, he meets us. When we look for him, when we cry out, God, help me, save me, I need you in this situation, he comes running. Circling back and around to the point I'm trying to illustrate, anticipating is expecting freedom. When we come here every week, are we coming with an attitude of expecting to meet Jesus or anticipating breakthrough and hope? Are we coming with faith-filled and just, are we front-footed, church, in coming to Connect Group, expecting our prayer requests to be answered? Or are we just, you know, they're asking for a prayer request, so I'll throw one out there, but I'm not actually really expecting that Jesus is going to answer my prayer request? Are we expecting to be healed, to be transformed? Are we expecting our relationships and our lives to be better because of knowing God? Are we waiting on God, coming expectant and leaving room for moments where the Holy Spirit can move? Or are we just going through the motions? Simeon expected to meet Jesus, and he did. And Anna told people about Jesus when they came searching for comfort and encouragement. Expectant people saw God move and saw Jesus in the flesh. Having said all of this, though, my final thought for today is a slight twist to all of this. Anticipation is not just a state of heart and an internal attitude of expectancy. It also translates to how we structure and actively go about our lives. My final point is this. Anticipating is positioning yourself to see God. Now, to frame this point more clearly, I'd like to present one more well-known scripture passage to you. And if you've grown up in church, you would be familiar with the story of Zacchaeus, the tax collector. It's a very simple story, but it's a guy who climbed up in a tree to see Jesus. Let's read it. Luke 19, 1 to 4 in the NASB. He entered Jericho and was passing through, and there was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and he was rich. Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was. He was anticipating, looking for, waiting for God. He was trying to see who Jesus was and was unable because of the crowd, for he was small in stature. So what did he do when he couldn't see God? He ran on ahead, climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to see him. For why? Jesus was about to pass through that way. Are we like Zacchaeus? Are we looking out for where God is going or for what he's about to do? If we can't see God clearly, are we positioning ourselves to see him more clearly and anticipating what he is going to do? When we can't see Jesus clearly, are we seeking him out? It's interesting to note that I use anticipation on all my slides. And the reason why is because on preparing this message, the word anticipation just really jumped out to me. I don't know if you guys know this, but the word anticipation in the English language has actually changed in meaning quite considerably. In the 1500s, anticipation meant to take care of something ahead of time. So if you saw something coming, you would anticipate it, do some action to make sure that you, that if it was something bad that was going to happen, that you would curb it, or if it was something good that was going to happen, that you were positioned in the right place to receive it. It meant, anticipation meant to take care of ahead of time or to take action prior to another action happening. But the funny thing is from 1809 onwards, anticipation in the English language started to become a passive word, a word that simply meant to look forward to something. I anticipate going out next week or whatever. So I think that in light of my message this morning, we should be both doing the old and the new forms of anticipation when it comes to the things of God. When we are anticipating God, there should be a passive, I'm waiting and I'm expectant what God's going to do. But there should also be an anticipation of God's moving here. Let me position myself to better see him. Let me do whatever I need to do. If I need to climb a tree, if I need to move to New Zealand to see God better, maybe he's calling me. He's going to use this thing to bring me into something else. You know, we got to be responding to God, waiting on him, anticipating his move and where he's going. I chose all my slide backgrounds today to have the Northern Lights or Aurora Borealis for a reason. Kieran, if we can get the first slide up anticipating God, that would be awesome. So it's beautiful. I've never seen them in real life. I'd like to. But the reason why I chose these Northern Lights to be as the background of all of my slides is this. There's a whole movement of people around the world who they document the right time, the right place, the right countries to be in to best see the Northern Lights based on the weather, based on the conditions of, they study it. You can read blog posts about this. There's people who make videos about how best to position yourselves to see the Northern Lights so that you have the greatest light show ever. These people, these Northern Light hunters, they anticipate where the Northern Lights are going to be and they position themselves to be in the perfect place to receive the best the Northern Lights have to offer. Let me tell you, God is so much more beautiful and awesome than any polar light show, than any Northern Lights. When you anticipate and seek out his freedom and endeavor to position yourself in his will, in a place where you can receive from him. You endeavor and you look for and you seek out and you expect his freedom. God will meet you there and it will be stunning. More amazing than you can ever imagine. Let's challenge each other to not only come to our meetings or our quiet times with God with an attitude of waiting and expecting the Holy Spirit to move, and expecting lives to be transformed, That's great. That's one side of my message this morning. We need to be doing that. But like Zacchaeus, let's be doing whatever it takes to see where God is moving and climb a tree if necessary to keep our eyes on Him. Let's live our lives that anticipate where God is going and be on the lookout for encouragement, be on the lookout for comforting things, for all the things that God is doing right now, and draw them out as we go about our lives. Could I ask you all to be upstanding now with me, church? Right here, right now, we're going to anticipate God. We're going to allow a moment for Him to move in people's lives. We're going to allow His light show, His amazing northern light show that comes only from knowing Jesus, to impact people. I want to give an opportunity right now. If you want to take that first step to knowing Jesus personally, if you want to know God and what it's like to have Him firmly in your life, if you want to make a commitment to be right with Jesus right now, to walk in that relationship that I've been talking about, to have the Holy Spirit actively moving in your life, this is your chance right now to say yes to a relationship to Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. And also, if you're here today and you feel like you've messed up, you've walked away, and you want to come back to God, I want to give an opportunity to you right now. Church, can you help me right now and pray this prayer after me? Father God, thank you for sending Jesus to die on a cross for me, to wash me clean, and give me eternal life. Forgive me right now of all the sins I've committed. I turn from my old ways. I put my trust fully in you. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the Savior of the world. It's my heart's desire to be in relationship with you. Amen. Now, if you're here today and that's the first time you prayed a prayer like that and you want to make it official, Jesus said that if you declare the name of Jesus before others, I will declare your name before my Father in heaven. If you're here right now and you want to make a commitment and you pray that prayer and you meant it, you want to say, hey, I want a relationship with Jesus starting right now. If you would just raise your hand, we'll give you a Bible and we'll pray with you. If you want to say, God, I prayed that prayer, I meant it, and I want to come into a relationship with you right now. If that's you, if you wouldn't mind just popping up your hand and keeping it up, and I'll see it and pray a prayer for you. And then the second category, if you're here today and you feel like you've walked away from God, but you want to be right with Him now, you prayed that prayer and you want to say, God, that's my public official declaration. This is my new beginning. I want to be right with you. If that's you, if you're here today and you want to be made right with God, you prayed that prayer and you meant it. If you could just raise your hand right now, I'll see it. I'll pray with you. Just give it a moment. It's an important part of our church service. Father God, I thank you for your word on anticipating God, expecting where you are moving, and positioning our lives to best serve you and outwork the wonderful plan you have for each and every one of us. Lord, even though there were no responses here this morning, Father, I pray for that harvest. I pray that we will see more people come into your house, that we will see more people come out of the darkness, that we will be like lighthouses shining the light of Jesus Christ to this community. Lord, give us a boldness, give us a courage to speak up for Jesus, to declare you before men as you will declare us before your Father in heaven, Lord. We pray right now that we will be bold, that we will be open, and that mostly we will be expecting and anticipating every time you move, Lord. Let us be front-footed. Let our hearts be soft and open to all of your moves. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, guys, that's it from me. We're now going to sing an awesome celebration song together, and then it's sausage sizzle time. So bless you guys. If you want to come forward for prayer after the last song, do so. Thank you. I can't deny.
you, everyone. Have a great week. Stay back. Have a sausage sizzle or a coffee.